Thank you. That's super sweet. Appreciate that. That's sweet. Thank you. That's super sweet. Thank you. Thank you. Gosh, you guys are so sweet. All right. I gotta tell you, just being in the presence of God with the people I love the most, this is such a big deal to me. And I think that we have a tremendous morning together at the feet of Jesus. And I'm gonna get right into that in one moment. Just two quick things. One is just a reminder of the Worship, Prayer, and Healing Night. We have three massive events every year. That is Christmas, Easter, and Worship, Prayer, and Healing Night. I'm gonna encourage all of you to come be a part of that, either as a participant that's praying for other people, meaning you just come in, just praying over the environment, or whether or not you need prayer, could be both, but that you need prayer, or you bring someone in, or you just want to be in the atmosphere of God. It is one time a year we do kind of a blowout, looking to God for miracles in a mighty way. It is one of the greatest worship sessions we have all year long. I want to encourage you, is it crowded? Totally crowded. But it is so fun to be able to be in the atmosphere of God. I invite you to that. And then the last thing, Pastor Rodney is teaching today at 2:00 a workshop on sharing our faith, how to share in a winsome way, how to share in a normal, natural, relational way. And if we cannot keep the gospel of eternal life to ourselves, we've got to figure out a way that everyone we love hears the gospel. Everybody that we know hears the gospel. Well, how in the world are we going to do that without being weird? Right? Amen. So we got a class on how not to be weird. It's fantastic. Pastor Rodney, who has the cool factor, is going to be sharing that. He is such a great communicator and such a great teacher. You will be blessed. It is at 2:00 today upstairs. You're going to find it in room 3. Make sure that you're there 2 p.m. All right, that is it. Now, I want to shift over and talk just as a family, if that's all right. One of the roles that I play here, whether it was ever stated to be that way or not, it just is what it is that I look at you like a father looks at their family. I have you on my heart and on my mind every time I'm here and every time I'm not here. I'm interceding for you on a pretty consistent basis. I have a number of prayer teams I pray with. So some of them are my personal intercessor team. Some of them are with the staff and leadership. Some of them are before every Saturday night service and before Sunday services. And the one thing I always ask for is let's cover you, right? So the one thing, we are always seeking God for you, always trying to seek heaven for you, trying to protect you and cover you. And the reason why I bring all that up is this was a rough week because I knew you had a rough week, okay? So a lot of us, anybody have a rough week this week? Yeah. And it's for a variety of reasons. Now, the one I'm talking about specifically is that when Charlie Kirk was assassinated, the online community just lit up and it started with all kinds of attitudes. Like, it was all over the plate. There was hurt, there was pain, there was, God, what is going on? There was, I'm mad at you now I'm mad at you. There was, all these raw emotions. And then all of a sudden there was, you know, the so-and-so posted this and then they posted this. And my heart was so heavy this week, right? I don't know if you've ever had your family fighting. That feeling that you have inside where you go, I know this is pain talking to pain. You know what I'm saying? And just as a dad of this congregation, I was just very on my shoulders all week. And so I'm navigating and talking to this leader who's upset at this leader, and it was just chaos, right? And I was just saying, Lord, don't let the enemy win. Don't let the enemy win. Don't let the enemy win. And I don't think it's any mistake that a year ago when we were planning out our series of sermons that God selected the exact passage that we're going to be studying today, because the whole heart of the message today is how should we be a healthy family together? So we're going to be talking about that a lot. But just as you heard, as we started the service, we started it in a spirit of healing. When you had us pray, we're going to pray for healing. So we're going to pray right now because all of us are in different places. All of us are coming from different perspectives. But pain is pain. And I just want to just cover everybody because you may go, man, I was under a rock. I have no idea what you're talking about. But my own life is so messed up, I'm hurting anyway, right? Okay, we're praying for you too, right? So we're going to be just praying because sometimes it's hard to focus on the Word of God when our spirit feels like it's ripped apart, yeah? So we're gonna just go ahead and pray for some healing today. Let's go ahead and do that. Heavenly Father, I come to you as a representative of this church, asking for your healing balm to be on each and every one of our hearts. Lord, there are some of us that feel like fear is dominating right now. There are some of us that anger is dominating. There's a bunch of things that may not be of the spirit of you. So God, I pray right now that Holy Spirit, your fruit would flow into our lives, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and good, all of it. Lord, we just pray that there would be something from heaven for us right here, right now, that begins to soothe with the grace of God, that begins to knit together by the power of the Holy Spirit. So I pray for our families. I pray for our marriages. I refuse to allow the enemy to win over my family. So I just plead the blood of Jesus Christ over each and every one of us, over our leadership, over our volunteers, over everyone that calls this place home, online, not here this weekend, doesn't matter. God, I just pray you put a shield of protection around us. Teach us how to live right. Teach us how to keep our eyes on you in the midst of the waves and the storm. And show us why you're so mighty. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Yeah, praise God. Man, and so how beautiful that God has saw fit that a year ago he was putting all these things in place to know that on this weekend we would end up be studying a passage in Titus that would talk about how we should operate as a community. Now, we've been in a series of Titus, and last week we had a guest pastor come in, one of the greatest communicators that has walked on this stage. Can we appreciate Pastor Andrea Coley, right? Watching her preach, I was sick this last week. I have a sickness that apparently is never ending. You know, once you're sick 13 days or more, you're just like, what's the point? You know what I mean? Take me now, Lord. You know, and he's like, you just have a cough. You're fine. But anyway, I get very dramatic. So I'm at home sick, right? And I'm laying there sad, and I'm watching Pastor Andrea preach, and it was like a master class on communication. And here's how you know that. When someone comes in from the outside and they feel like they know what's up, that's a weird thing, because what it means is she did her homework on our community. She began to lace in things that we care about. She began to talk about our key words and our key core values. She began to pull things and refer to other sermons as if she had been here. She lives in the Bay Area. She's never attended this place ever. And yet she came in with the heart of a pastor. She was able to balance personal and professional and theological. And it was just so brilliant to watch her come up and appear so easy and balanced. That's when you know you're looking at a master, amen? So she did a great job. Now, what she was sharing about, one of the elements that she shared about, was that when we are trying to become like Jesus, and the Bible keeps going, hey, you need to adjust this, adjust this, adjust this. When we hear that, we're like, oh my gosh, I can't do that. She reminded us we're not alone. The Holy Spirit inside us is more interested in our transformation than we are. He uses what she called transformative grace that would be in our lives where the Holy Spirit's like, hey, you need to work on that? Man, I'm right here. I'm right here with you. You need to come from a place of safety so you can make some changes? I got you. Do you need a little extra grace, a little extra forgiveness? Do you need this? Let me remind you who you are in me. The Holy Spirit is constantly moving in us. We don't deserve it. We don't earn it. It's free. That's why it's grace. But it transforms us from the inside out. Now, Paul ended up talking to this pastor, Titus, which is why the book's called Titus. He ends up instructing him, and he's like, hey, kid, there's a couple other things I need you to run the church and do for me, okay? He had put Titus into the crazy situation. He took this young pastor, and he put him into a church on the island of Crete. We're going back 2,000 years ago. The island of Crete was world famous for being party island. It was laziness, gluttony, drinking. It was all selfishness, nastiness. Everybody was at everybody's throat. Nobody cares about anybody else. It's all about me, 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 right? It was just this nasty society. And all the people that got saved come from that dysfunction. Now, all of a sudden, they're in the church. And he's like, hey, Titus, pastor, man, we got to train our people. We can't be like everybody else. We can't be like the rest of society. I know what you came from, I just need you to focus on where you're going. I understand why you have that pattern of behavior, it's just not healthy. Okay, I understand why you were trained up like that, I understand that's your role model. What I'm telling you is that ain't you. You are a child of God. We're gonna act different, and we're gonna reach this community by living differently. They all know what normal is. We can't be normal. We gotta be godly. And therefore, there's some things that we need to do. There's some changes that we need to make, because the best way to win a lost society is to be a healthy house, because that becomes so attractive. If you come from a dysfunctional home and you walk into a functional home, it's wonderful. If you come from a dysfunctional relationship and you see a healthy relationship, it's attractive. That there is something that gravitates people towards health when it's done well. So everyone, and I'm gonna use this for our church. We're gonna be talking about 2,000 years ago, but it applies to us. Do we have problems in our society? Yeah. Do we need to act different? Yeah. Do we need to learn a bunch of different stuff? Yeah. It all applies to us. I want anyone that comes from society that's been trashed and thrashed online, anybody that comes from society that is used to hate, to walk in and feel this is a different house. I want, amen? Yeah. I want the world to come in and go, that's weird. I totally don't agree with the person sitting next to me on a bunch of issues, and yet somehow we're loving. I want the environment to be, wow, this household seems to be operating on a bunch of broken people, but somehow they make it work. And I'm gonna tell you that something is Jesus Christ. I want that to be the winsome part about Bridgeway. I can't fix society, but this is our house. And we can make it like Jesus likes it here in this place, right? Amen? Yeah, praise God. Let's do that. All right, so I wanna talk about what it is to be around people and why that's so complicated. So I'm gonna share something you maybe can relate to this. The older I get, the less I wanna be around people. Anybody have that? Have that? Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know where it all changed, right? As a kid, I was just like, you know, so into everybody. I just love people, right? And I would love to have a rotating door, like on my house, where I'm the guy at 2 a.m., like they're like, you need to leave. I'm that guy, right? Where I was just like, let's hang out. Let's keep going. This is going to be so fun, right? And now all of a sudden, I'm like, get off my lawn, you know? Like, what happened to you, dude? I'm mowing in like black socks, you know, and you're like, what changed in me? What went so bad? And I realized that because back in the day, I got a lot of my affirmation from people. There were healthy and unhealthy reasons why I always wanted to be around people, right? That's always the case. Mixed motives, right? Sometimes you want to be around them because it makes you forget about your life. And sometimes, right? There's a lot of reasons. And I don't need them necessarily to affirm me anymore. So there's a couple healthy reasons. But nowadays, I'm like, you know what's awesome? Loneliness. And I'm like, that doesn't sound good. I'm not sure that's right. And I found out that when I'm alone a lot, I'm not the best version of me. It's like when I'm alone, I'm like, why wear pants? You know, but when I'm with other people, there's like an elevation and a lifting of going, I gotta be a better version of me, right? You know, don't drop the F-bomb in worship. You know, it's that kind of thing where you realize I need to start lifting my eyes up because now I have accountability. Now I got people around me going, I think you're better than that. I think there's something more. I think there's something else. But when I'm at home, I'm full of rationalization and excuses, and I'm always letting myself off the hook because I know what I meant. You know what I'm talking about? Like when we're alone, we drop to the base of ourselves. And that is not where we need to be operating. We need to be operating on the elevated spirit of God. We need to be able to be living off the transformed us. The Bible says it is not good for man to be alone. We were built to be transformed by one another. We were built to be in community. But dang it, it's so hard, right? And I'm gonna give you some advice that I ended up learning throughout my life. It's probably gonna be the best advice you'll ever hear on marriage, because I didn't come up with it. But because you're like, oh, you're great. Okay, no, I used it from somebody else. And I need you to just listen to this for a moment, because this is so, so important. It's gonna apply to our church and it's gonna apply to a marriage. Here's the truth. There is no way to grab two independent thinking individuals put them together and there not be agitation. It's actually impossible because a human being has to process their world and they're not going to see everything the same way. So there's going to be conflict, there's going to be agitation. That is a fact. The key to a good marriage is not trying to avoid conflict, it's learning tools of repair. Because when it's broken, you then go through the process of repair and you end up stronger than you were before. It's actually a way of building strength. So, for example, if you walk into a marriage, you're like, I don't understand why we're always at odds. Well, I do. It's a human with another human. Of course you're going to be at odds. But how are we going to build together, get on the same page, transform together, change together? How are we going to allow God to be the center of our relationship? In the same way, you got a community like this. There's no way to have a community like this without people agitating you. Like you're in a church with a bunch of thinking individuals with differing opinions. They're going to say something that hurts you. They're going to say something that's nasty or mean. They're going to have a bad day. And when that happens, the way to a healthy home is repairing afterwards. We can't avoid it. Now, boy, we're doing our best, right? I mean, even this week, I had leadership against leadership and opinion against opinion. I got all these people that I love, and they're not seeing things eye to eye, and I get it. Even the brilliant ones struggle. But here's what I'm here to tell you. I want our house to be one that is not perfect, but healthy. I want our house to be one that goes, man, you really hurt me. What you said was so out of line. You ripped my guts out, dude. And the other person's gonna go, well, I thought, you know, but we work it out. We don't bolt, we don't leave, we don't try to come up with some other excuse, we don't justify ourselves, we own it. And I need to lead in that, right? If I don't lead in that, that's on me. But as a father of this house, my job is to go out and go, I missed it here, I blew it here, I didn't do it right here, right? But then you gotta have the grace, because I can't do it alone. You gotta have the grace to be with me. And go, dude, I'll be with you and I'll walk with you and I'll give you some space. You're not gonna do it right every time, yeah? But if we can do that, I believe it's so transformational. I believe that the society will desperately crave to wanna be in these walls because they finally see what it looks like to have healthy community. We've got to get there. The fill in the blank on the sheet in front of you is community requires cooperation. Community requires cooperation. It cannot just be leaders talking. It's got to be us acting, which means when you get offended, you will get offended. When I hurt you, that there's a way to heal. If I'm continuing to make it worse, that's on me, right? But we're just human beings trying to do the best that we can. I believe that we have some really good hearts in this room. I believe we have great hearts online, part of our community that's not even here this weekend, right? But wow. The context, as I shared with you, is that we're looking at an environment, a society of selfishness in the island of Crete. We're looking at a place where a church is situated where everyone came from dysfunction. Where everyone, and then a bunch of false teachers came through the church and messed everybody's heads up. They started saying, you're not saved unless you do this. And they were trying to act arrogant and I know my best way. And then everybody started fighting. And man, Paul said, you need to get your kids in line, okay? We don't act like that. If we start acting, looking like society, we got no reason they should come here. They got it at home. They don't need fighting here, right? So we gotta do things a little bit different. And Paul realized, I'm gonna ask you guys to live counterculture. Because that's our best shot to shine in the darkness. Would you turn with me to Titus chapter 3, verse 1? Titus is a little tiny book. If you're brand new with us and you brought a Bible, drop it open in the middle, go super far to the right. You're gonna find a book called 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, then boom, it's a little two-pager, tiny little book. For those of you that don't have a Bible, under the seat in front of you is a Bible, and it's page 998 if you're brand new to all this. 998 will get you there, and it's super fun to kind of look at the writing and know what I'm reading versus what I'm commenting on. That way you can know it for yourself. Here we go. This is what he was saying we needed
to do in the Cretan church, or the church of Crete, and then we'll see how it applies to us. Here we go. Chapter 3, verse 1. Pastor Titus, remind your people, your Christians, to be submissive to rulers and authorities and to be obedient to them. Ah, right off the bat. Use the S word. Hate the S word. Submissive. What is that word? Goodness gracious, what are you trying to tell me? You got to submit to the leaders. What if the leaders are idiots? What if the leaders are bad guys? What if the, and we got a million things that pop up in our head. Because we just have this kind of rebellious spirit, kind of like if somebody tells you don't cross that line, you're like, what about no? You know, it's that kind of attitude, right? And what he's saying is, hey, everybody in society has this, I want to be the boss, it's all about me, screw the rules, blah, blah, blah. He said, we're not going to live that way. No. We need to talk about this for a second. And he's using a word of subjection underneath obedience, bowing underneath the viewpoints of another person. Boy, that just starts agitating our American spirit, right? We're just like, we gotta rebel, okay? No. Hold on. It means that if we're gonna do it the Christ-like way, we fit into our systems as salt and light and do it right. That's what it said. And as a matter of fact, authority has to be put in its proper context to make any sense. So let me talk about this. There is only one ultimate authority. That is God. Yes? No one human will ever have ultimate authority over another human. Okay? No one will ever own another person. You go, yeah, what about slavery? That's why it's wrong. It's unacceptable. There's nothing right about that. It's because only God has that place. So any authority of human to human is about the system. How does the system work most efficiently? There's a hierarchy. That human fits a role, and everybody plays along with that system. That is our job. Now, in there, you immediately go, well, that doesn't make any sense. What if they're doing bad things? What if they're not Christian leadership? What if they're selfish leadership? What if they're corrupt, right? I don't need to follow them. They don't have my best interest in mind. Okay, let me explain to you. It doesn't matter. How do I know that? I want you to keep your finger in Titus. And let's jump back to the left. I need you to read one other passage with me today, and that is Romans 13. Can you jump back to the left? It goes Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans. That's where you're gonna be. Romans chapter 13. Paul, the apostle, wrote both books, Romans, Titus. So same guy, same vibe. Here he explains it more. Here's what he said. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God. Those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. Look at verse 4. For he is God's servant for your good. Okay, that's craziness. And you're like, well, obviously he was writing when they had good leadership. Has anyone ever studied history? Okay, their leadership makes ours look like choir boys, okay? When you get asked to submit to the leadership that is burning Christians alive, then you know history. You understand what I'm talking about? We're talking about the Roman Empire. We're talking about Emperor Nero. We're talking about craziness, psycho, anti-God. That's what we're talking about. And he still said, you get in the system, you run the system as salt and light, and you make a difference. Yeah, but there, I didn't ask you what they're doing. Now, this is very important. Let me ask you a question, because you're gonna go, yeah, I don't wanna support this bogus system, all right? Here we go, how much money did Joseph make for Pharaoh in the Old Testament, right? Anybody know that story? Here's a Hebrew that's working for the Egyptian Empire. Is the Egyptian Empire godly? No, it is not, it is pagan. They worship other gods. How much money did he make them? Billions. Why did the king of a pagan nation like Nehemiah? Because he was great at his job. Daniel, why was the king of a pagan nation so upset that Daniel was gonna get in trouble? Because Daniel was crushing it in his job. What we do is we fit into the system. Let God sort the system. If you get a chance to change the system, do so. But if you can't, that shouldn't change your character. You are still awesome. You are still a child of God. You are still a Christian. I don't care what your environment is, right? We never live in reaction to someone else. We live on purpose. It's who we are. Jesus displayed this beautifully. Jesus comes in. People tried to bait him into things. They tried to beat him into things. They tried to intimidate him, and he never changed who he was. Because it doesn't matter his outside, it mattered his inside. And he was like, you do not have the power to change me. If I am grace-filled, if I am loving, that's what I am. I don't care how you act towards me, that doesn't change my core. I am who I am. I will never shift because an outside factor said so. You don't get to bait me into lowering to your level. That's how a Christian should be, right? Now, again, that's aspirational for me. People have baited me and I've bought it like a million times. I'm growing like everybody else. You guys, I have an embarrassing reaction when somebody challenges me and I get all offended. It's horrifying. I'm still trying to mature myself, right? I'm trying to let the Holy Spirit have a work in me. So you're not hearing a, you need to, I'm saying we, yeah? We're all in the same place. And then he said, but what if the place is so corrupt, it seems like I'm supporting something that's anti-God. All right, there's actually a solution. God gave it to us in 1 Timothy 2. First of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people, for kings and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life. What was his answer? Pray it right. Pray it right. Now, I'm gonna say something, and it's gonna be a challenge to us, and it's gonna sound snarky, by and large, because of my tone of voice and face. Right? Here's the phrase. If you're complaining about the messed up society and you're not praying about it, you might wanna stop talking. Right? Because here's why. We're the solution. Jesus said, you are my body. You should be out there bringing change. You should be the ones praying from heaven, the power down to shape that which is wrong around you. Pray it right. It's not right now. It's messed up. It's horrible. The system's broken. People are bad. I get it. Pray it right. And you're like, oh, I'm just one person. No, look around you. You're part of one family of God, one house of God in this massive city with so many beautiful houses of God, and we are thousands. So if we begin to pray change, change happens, amen? So again, we are not victims. We rise up and we pray and fight on our knees. That's what we are worshiping. We were praying, God, our enemy is not people. Our enemy is principalities and powers, and the enemy's playing people. They can't do that. We got to shut it down. You say, all right, so Pastor Lance, there's times in the Bible when people did go against authorities. All right, cool, I got that. Acts chapter 5, perfect example. Called civil disobedience. When are we allowed to rebel? Here's the interesting thing. In Acts chapter 5, the apostles were arrested and beaten for sharing the gospel. And the authorities said, don't ever speak the name of Jesus again. They said, I'm sorry, you're outranked. They just said, you know what? I actually can't because your system is supposed to carry the will of God. You're not doing that. You're telling me anti? He actually is above you. So I have to obey God rather than man. The only time we're ever allowed to defy our authorities is if it's in direct violation to a direct commandment of God. Otherwise, we get in trouble from God for rebelling because it's not okay. And hear me on this one. There's never a scenario where you and I are ultimately in charge. It's God or nothing, right? It's always God. We're never in charge. So get that whole, I'm my own boss. No, you're not. You're either getting played by the enemy or you're getting perfected by God. But you're not your own. I'm not my own, right? Who is our allegiance to? That's a bigger question. Who's gonna be the good leader, God or Satan? I'm gonna tell you right now, you wanna follow Jesus Christ. So it says, and by the way, while we're out there trying to make a difference in our society, how we act matters. So I want you to quote verse one, be ready for every good work. Your society wakes up every morning and figures out how it can leech off each other. They get up every morning and they're trying to think about how to do the minimum. They're waking up every morning and they're trying to figure out how they can get theirs. They're waking up every morning and they're looking through a lens of selfishness. We aren't that. When we get up in the morning, we are Christians. Therefore, we say, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm not gonna get hung up on what's wrong with me. I'm gonna get hung up on what's right with me. My God is still working on me. Therefore, I'm gonna walk out with confident humility. I have gifts, talents, abilities given to me by God. I may have spiritual gifts given to me by the Holy Spirit. I got power. I got authority. So I'm gonna get up, get my tool belt on, get out in the morning and say, I got divine appointments to do. I got a job to do. Heavenly Father, you tell me, where are we going and when? That's how we do it. Because it means what good work? Any good work? I don't know. It's gonna feel very accidental. Oh man, I was at the gas station and this caught my attention. It kind of catches you off guard. So you just say, I am the presence of heaven. Anyone hurting around me should know a Jesus person walked into the scenario. And they went, oh, I think we're gonna be okay. They're here. That's who we are. He then said this. He said, now, as far as how you guys treat each other, this is the place I want to dig down. How you treat each other, how you treat people outside. I don't care who they are. We treat people a certain way. Here we go. Look at verse 2. I want you to speak evil of no one. Avoid fighting. Be gentle and show perfect courtesy towards everybody. Right? Notice that attitude. How are we going to change society? We're gonna live different. We're gonna have a different home. We're gonna treat people differently. So how do we do that? First one, speak evil of no one. That means slander, insult, attacking speech. Listen, you can always debate and challenge views, perspectives, beliefs, but you don't attack people. Christians are not allowed to do that. Yeah, but they, I don't care what they did. I don't care how nasty they got. They do not get to pull you into nastiness. Venom for venom, fire for fire, we don't play that game. No, 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 that's not us. Because that's gonna fundamentally change and make you yucky. Do not let them bait you. No, 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 our job is to say, listen, you can say whatever you want about me, but I'm gonna stay on the right level. The best scenario of this is how Jesus used to be able to cut people's legs out from under them and never once sin. And he was just like, man, I'm just letting truth speak for itself, and you just got wrecked, because I always have truth on my side, right? If you got truth on your side, why are you being defensive? Either it's true or it's not true. If we're arguing opinions, we should be very humble. If we're arguing preferences, we should be even more humble. But if we're talking truth, you're okay. And he said, I want you to avoid quarreling. Now, this is interesting because I think that's contextual. I think the false teachers led so many people into fights. The spirit was agitated in the church and everyone was too worked up. And he's like, Titus, you've got to get them calmed down. Now, is there time to debate? Is there time to get fiery? Yes. Did Paul do it? Yeah. There's times when you can light up. That is my personality. Let's be very honest here, right? Because man, I will throw down and get all fired up about truth and theology, and I can go head to head with the best of them. And I actually love that. The whole idea of going, man, we're gonna seek after truth together and we're gonna challenge one another. That's so fun for me. It gets me in danger. Sometimes it makes me a jerk. And so I gotta be careful, right? Very tempting. But here's my main problem with public debate these days. It has nothing to do with seeking truth. It has to do with trying to be right. Yep. And that's always destructive. Because I'm no longer listening to you to see if you have a point. I'm trying to make sure I have a point. And it's better than your point. Okay, that's not helpful, right? We shouldn't be getting into those. It shouldn't be a power struggle, right? It should be, I'm trying to seek truth. If you have a better idea, I should probably learn from you. right? If you got it, great. I'll adjust my thing. Because now, not only am I know everything I know, but now I know everything you know. That makes me better. No, it doesn't. I'm just kidding. Okay. Weird how flesh just crept in there. That was so odd. And then he said, I want you to be gentle. And this is a really interesting concept because everybody was so harsh. Society goes harsh very quickly. And he said, I need you to be gentle. We don't rise up against, now we're on the attack, this means war, blah, 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 blah. All that rhetoric is why bad things happen. Yeah, but I'm justified. No, you're not. You're feeding the beast. Stop it. He said, I want you to bring back gentleness. A gentle answer turns away wrath. Jesus didn't have to lose his mind in order to get a point across, right? He was in the pocket. And then it says, and I want you to show perfect courtesy to all people. I love Aristotle's definition of this term, meek, because that's the word in Greek. He said, it's getting angry at the right time, in the right measure, for the right reason. What was the point? There's times to get upset. How you do it matters. We're not doormats. We're not, oh, I don't have an opinion. No, your power under control. You know exactly how to respond when you need to respond, and you do it in a metered response. We are never out of control. We are never in reaction. We are never just exploding. That's not Christian. We harness that stuff to the Lord. We say, Lord, help me to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. What I want to say is this. What I'm going to say is that. Yeah? And when we bring that in, it becomes a power that the Holy Spirit goes, I can use that. And boom, it's impactful, right? Holy Spirit cannot authorize our selfish reactions, right? And then he said this. He said, if you need a reason, and you shouldn't need a reason, but if you need a reason on why Christians should give people slack and not be on their case all the time, not play the holier than thou, the I'm better than you, the elitism, if you need a reason, here's your reason. Look at verse 3. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, and led astray. Never forget you're human. I don't care how smart you are, you're still human. Right? Well, I'm right. Good for you. You're still human. There's only one that should be bragging. His name is Jesus, and it's not us. Right? And therefore, he said, there are three reasons why people don't walk with me, and here you go. They're right there. Three ways, reasons why people don't walk with God. Number one, it's just ignorance. They don't know what they don't know. Our job is to go out and share the truth. One thing that seems so strange to me that Christians and church people do is they hold non-believers to Christian standards. You're not acting like Jesus. Why the heck would they do that? They have no idea who you're talking about. Oh, I can't believe you're not moral. What are you talking about? Why should they have morality? They don't have what you have. They don't have God. They don't have any of that stuff. So you're expecting something out of them. They cannot deliver. That doesn't make any sense, right? Now, of course, there's a second category where they're doing bad because they want to do bad. They know dang well it's wrong. They know right and wrong, good and bad, and they're just, I'm the boss of me. I can do whatever I want. Nobody can tell me what to do. We all fall into this groove, right? Where you just, and here's my concern, though. Are you always good? Aren't there times where you're like, I had a bad day, and, you know, I even cussed out a dog. I don't think he understood me, but I knew he understood my heart. You know, like, you're just like, wow, you are off today. Like, what is wrong with you? Okay, what's funny is you give yourself slack for that because you'd like try most of the days. You just messed up on Wednesday. But what if you're interacting with somebody in society on their Wednesday? And you're like, oh, you're always like that. How do you know? You have no idea. Where is the grace to be able to go, oh, you're broken too. Man, you're messed up too. Wow, I don't know what's going on in your world right now, but you got a lot of darkness that's coming out at me. Like, I'm sorry, because obviously your life's miserable if you're acting like that towards me. I almost have pity for that. I'm almost sad about that, because I know what it feels like. Because here's something interesting. It is maturity when you finally realize not everybody has what you have. They don't all come from the same place. So for example, I grew up where I had two parents, and I had a jacked up home life. My dad left when I was 7. Well, you guys have all heard that story, right? So I had all kinds of issues. But I had two parents that told me constantly they loved me and told me I could do anything. Do you know how rare that is? I walk around from a safe place. My dad's dead, my mom's here. So, but there's a certain thing where I said, someone believes in me. Even from childhood, I have a foundational stone, a safety that millions of people don't have. And I'm out there assuming everybody else can come from that settled place. I'm the one coming from that. Why don't I say, wow, I wish you had what I had? Why can't I cut somebody slack that maybe they always had doubt on them? I didn't have that. Just remember, not everybody has what you have. And if you are a Christian, goodness gracious, you're spoiled. You have grace and forgiveness. You have an eternal destiny secured for you. You have someone that is inside you, constantly championing you. You have one that walks alongside called the encourager, the comforter. You got the ability to pray. You have so much. How in the world is that person supposed to match you and you're the one with the issue? Come on, we got stuff. Sometimes we just gotta have understanding for broken people around us, right? Because the third one, he said, the three reasons they don't walk with me is, first of all, they don't know. Second one, they don't wanna know. They're just rebellious. And the third one is they're led astray by an external force. You think the devil doesn't wanna play people? You think the devil did not want to take advantage of every situation going on in our society today to figure out a way to divide Christians? Are you kidding me? Why would he be stupid enough to waste that opportunity? Of course he wants to divide. Of course he's playing all of us. Of course he's going to whisper in your ear, how dare they say that to you? What, nobody's chirping in your ear? You're not hearing that? Come on, I'm telling you, the enemy is not a good guy. And he is trying to break up marriages. He's trying to break up churches. He's trying to break up friendships. He's trying to break up because we're gonna get you alone. He can take you out. Refuse. That's why when all this stuff went down, I said, I need our church better than we started. Because I refuse to let the enemy ruin what is great. Yeah? Okay, and then it says this, let's close it out. He said, and by the way, one of the things that seems to be wrong with humanity is we become slaves to our passions and pleasures. What does that mean? It means when you keep saying yes to self enough times, it becomes a monster and is no longer listening to you. If you've ever dealt with compulsion or addiction, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But here's the thing. It all starts out where you're just like, I must have dessert after this meal. I must have dessert after this meal. I must have dessert after this meal. And at some point, your body's like, give me cake. You're like, I don't have any cake. Go to the store. And you're like, that's not convenient. And it's like, do you want me to wreck you? And you're like, I feel afraid of myself right now. And even when you try to change it, oh my gosh, dieting's crazy, right? You're like, all of a sudden you're trying to say no to yourself and it's like, do you know what I can do to you? You know, it's just like this weird bully is in there. Well, that's what happens when you keep saying yes to self, yes to self, yes to self. It rises up and it goes, you can't tell me what to do. Who do you think you are? I've been running this show, right? He's like, but when you're like that, you're even getting played by your own desires. So the rest of the world sometimes doesn't even know what they're saying. They've said, I'm defensive, I'm defensive, I'm defensive, I'm defensive. So often they don't know how to be otherwise. So if you come at them, they're gonna be defensive and mean because that's their pattern. He said, you know what the result is if we just keep following human nature? Look at verse 3. We pass our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hating one another. What happens? Bitterness. There you go. If you're alone too long and you do not repair and you do not have a healthy community, you end up alone and bitter. And bitterness means you hate everybody else and you're so toxic they hate you too. And every day you resent the fact if anybody has anything good. because your life's so terrible, right? That now all of a sudden they get a promotion. You're like, you're a loser. Why do you get a promotion, right? And then somebody finds somebody and their marriage is good. And you're like, I bet you they're just terrible behind the scenes. Like in your mind, you're always tearing down because there's an envy. Why is my life not where their life is? And there's comparison. And when you end up, you just end up eaten alive by bitterness. And he said, guys, we were saved from all that. That's not us. No, we have hope. We have purpose. We have intentionality. We have love. We have grace. We're okay. We're gonna live better, right? And we're gonna show the world what it means when Jesus makes a difference. I can't live at the base me. The base me is scary and not good. The Jesus me is way better. So what kind of community are we building around here? I'm telling you, I think we got good hearts. I think we got a shot at this because we got the Holy Spirit. I know we're gonna get rocked. What, is this the last time we're gonna get rocked? No, it's just a pause. We'll get rocked again. And if this one wasn't in your wheelhouse of hurt, Satan's gonna try to find one that is. Because he's gonna try to rattle you, gonna try to get you against everybody else, gonna try to isolate you. Do not let him win. When we hurt one another, we heal. We talk it out, we restore. I've had leaders come to me after this message because of this last week and texted me and say, Pastor, I need to make some things right. I need to help figure out how to heal with people. Okay, that's the leadership we got here. Did we hurt people? Yes. Is it okay? No. But then we gotta fix it, right? And so my encouragement is this is our family. If you're a part of Bridgeway, this is the expectation on you. I've never expected you to be perfect. I just expected you to be good. I just expected you to love one another to the best of your ability. And if you're new and you're trying to figure it all out, our job is to have enough cushion for you to grow and learn, right? So we catch the newbies and we take it. Somebody comes in and says something weird and psycho to you, right? Roll your eyes, Christians, right? We got this, guys. Society does not get to destroy the house of God. Amen? Can I have the prayer team come on up here? Let's close out. Heavenly Father, we sure love you and we are so thankful for today. That God, would you make us into a people that live like you, that if there was a whole church full of you, Jesus Christ, it would look just like this. So Lord, help us to put aside our hurts if we can't heal them immediately. Help us to be able to heal the ones we can. Help us to be able to have grace and kindness and cushion and patience. Help us, Lord, to begin to respond in a way that is winsome and right. Help us to repair each and every time we wound. So God, I know that in a world where everything feels like it's falling apart and bad stuff is happening, Lord, it feels like things are out of control. But right here, we acknowledge you are King. You are King. You are King. You've always been King. Nothing is out of control. You've got this. So Lord, may us be part of the solution. We lock in step with you and we say, yes, Lord, wherever you want to go, use me. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Have a wonderful weekend.